likes me to preach fast because he always just gives me a few minutes. So let me get situated. Well, let me open in prayer. Father, I just thank you this morning. I thank you for everyone that is here. And God, I just pray that what you have given me, Father, that it would be a good reminder, but also an encouragement. And in your name we pray, amen. So this morning I'm speaking on spiritual warfare, which is nothing new, but it's always good to be reminded, right? Because we are in a spiritual war. We don't get to choose. We just are in it. And so 1 Peter 5:8-9 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world." When we lived in Belize, we lived in intense spiritual warfare all the time. And so when we came back, I thought, it'll get easier now. We're back in the Bible Belt. Well, the devil's here too. So, and his tools are a little bit different in Katy than they are in Belize. The warfare is a little bit different, but it is nonetheless here and very real. And it is very easy for us to be a sleeping church and very easy for us to not be aware of the spiritual dynamics that are going on. And we have to be aware because the devil is out for your kids. The devil is out for your marriage. He's out for your relationships with other people in the church. He's out to destroy. And I know this is a very gloom and doom message, but it's going to get better. Just hang in there. So we don't have a choice about the war, but we have a choice what side we're on. And I choose Jesus. And that is what I have spent my life doing, is telling people about Jesus, walking with people in the battle to serve Jesus. It's really why I was born. It's what the Lord has had me do. And I'm going to get to a more practical application in a minute, but I just wanted to spend a minute on Ephesians 6:10-17. All of you know this. Those of us who were raised in church, we were taught in Sunday school all of the armor. And so in one sense, I feel like it's kind of a simple message, but at the same, it's something that we need to be reminded of, because I feel that we get very comfortable and we forget that every day we wake up into warfare. And if we're not having warfare in our own situation, then there's somebody else that we need to be walking through and praying for them and helping them. So Ephesians 6:10-17, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." And, you know, sometimes we get in the middle of the battle, but we're not ready. You know, we're like, we will say, "I feel like I'm being attacked. I feel like this is an attack of the devil." But we are not in the right place to be able to fight. And so what are we supposed to do? The first thing, "Stand therefore, and having girded your waist with truth." So the most important thing in everything, it's the first thing that you do, is put on that belt. And it's actually not just a belt. It's actually a piece of armor that everything else hangs on. And so if we, as believers, we need to live lives of integrity, of truth, because that is what it's all, that's the basis that we're going to build everything else on. Then having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and I didn't do an extensive study, but that righteousness is Christ. Because, do you know, we can't be righteous on our own. I mean, we can try to do the right things, we can try to be perfect, but we're still gonna mess up because we're human. And the only way that we can live righteously is really just spending time with Jesus. You know, we become like who we spend time with. Do you know why I tell my daughters to pick good friends? Because I know that they are going to become like the little girls that they hang around, right? And I want my daughters to be the influencers and influence them to Jesus, but I also realize that it goes two ways. Well, in the same way for us, if we want to be like Jesus, we have to spend time with him. If we do not, coming on Sunday morning is not enough. There has to be time in between. Thank you, Yada. Okay. And then having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And that is what we did this week. We went to Belize. But we should do that everywhere we go. We should come into the room and bring Jesus and bring peace. We should be the peacemakers. We should not be the ones that are joining in the fight or joining in the, you know, we should be the ones that are bringing peace into the situation. And above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Okay, guys, this is a huge one because the devil will shout lies at you. People will shout lies at you. Even your own family will shout lies at you. And that's where you have to have faith and know what the Lord has said. I'm almost done, but I do feel it's very important to go over this. And to take on the helmet of salvation, we need to protect our minds. And that's that helmet. We need to protect what is going into our minds. We need to protect what music, what movies, what... even the voices that we're listening to, we need to protect those minds and have, you know, a mind of Christ. And then finally, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And I was blessed because I was raised in church memorizing scripture. And so it is amazing how there will be something I'm going through and the scripture comes to mind. And parents, your children should be memorizing scripture, but you should as well. When we went to Belize, we homeschooled, and one of the things is every single test, they had to do a scripture. They had to have a scripture by memory, and sometimes it was so annoying. I'm going to miss 5 points because I don't know the scripture. Come on, Mom. Yep, you're going to miss 5 points if you don't know the scripture. So you know what? So the kids, they learned scripture because they were forced to, but you know what? I'm so glad. Because that is in their mind, and that can never be taken away. So we're in this battle. It's scary, right? No, it's not. We don't have to be afraid. 1 John 4:4 says, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." Fear is not from the Lord. And when you begin to have fear creep in, you need to remind that fear to go back, because that is not from God. We can have confidence because God is with us. And so now I'm going to talk a little bit about the spiritual battle. One thing that I have seen is the bigger the battle, that there's going to be a huge victory. Now, that doesn't make the battle fun. It's miserable sometimes when we're going through the battle. And you know, but we have to remember that the Lord is doing something for Satan to be so scared, to be attacking you, to be choosing to... hold you down or bring sickness. And so my experience in Belize this week was very different than the rest of the team. I went to Belize not feeling 100%, but Tuesday morning when I woke up, I was just not well. I didn't feel good. I was very congested. And I knew I had to speak that night. I was supposed to meet with several women during the day. And because obviously I was going home, you know, and so, but had to decide to cancel and just to rest. And that was hard. That was hard for me because I was like, well, here I am. I came to Belize and I'm sitting in a hotel room, you know, and I'm resting. And the Lord told me it was okay, that it's okay to rest, but it was very hard for me. And, but what he did is he touched me. He touched me just in time to be able to get up and speak to the women Tuesday night. I think, what is sickness always spiritual? I don't know, but I feel like for me that was an attack, because I do believe the Lord had given me a word very specific. I wasn't just talking to women. I was talking to like women I knew, like I had walked with them, you know, for all of those years. And the Lord had given me a word very specific to them. And I was able to get up. You know, most of the women never even knew that I was sick. And so that was a blessing. I went with the team for a couple of days, and by Thursday night, I was done. I did not feel good. That was when we did the youth, and I'm not sure when, but at some point, I started running a fever and ran a fever all night, and I began to realize I was a little bit sicker than just a cold. And again, what's that voice? Oh, you've come all the way to Belize and you're in a hotel room. You know, what good is that? You're not helping anybody. Elizabeth ended up taking me to the doctor and getting me some medicine. I got to check out the brand new hospital right in front of LifeNet, which that was pretty cool, but I would have rather checked it out well, not sick. So that was Friday. The team did all that crazy stuff on Friday, went to Cayo, and where we stayed actually was Erica's Belizean grandmother. So she took care of me because I was Erica's mom. So she brought food into me and checked on me, prayed for me as the team was gone. But I was pretty miserable. And the voices and that were in my head, you know, you're not even going to be at Terrence and Andrea's wedding. And how terrible is that going to be? You know, because I'm like Andrea's mother. And I'm not going to be able to celebrate Tori's birthday. And just all of these things. And I just began to ask a few people to pray for me that I would be well. You know, that the fever would break and that I would be well. Well, Saturday morning, the fever finally broke. It had been, I don't know, more than 24 hours. And by the time it was time to get ready for the wedding, I was able to get ready. Well, this is why I need to be at that wedding. When Andrea walked down the aisle, her and I caught eyes and both began to weep because, oh, I thought I'd be able to do this without crying. But for 8 years, 7.5 years, I walked with her through some of the darkest times when she did not want to serve Jesus anymore, when her marriage was almost gone. So that wedding, I needed to be there because it was a celebration. So I'm just gonna go really quickly. So we met them, you've heard the story. Terrence was our first convert. I have very few spiritual sons, but this tall Indian man, he's my son. So he sees me as his mother. His mother is in India. She came for the wedding, but I absolutely, those years, I was his mom. I was who he came to. And Andrea, her parents were in the States for a while. And so again, I was her mom. I was the one that was there. So they, quickly after they came to our church, they had a little baby, Tristan, who's my grandson. Love him to death. He's about probably 8 or 9 now. And right after that, they got pregnant again and lost a baby. So they were growing in the Lord, and it stopped. Because of that spiritual battle, they were done. Jesus took their baby, and they were done. We saw them get to the point where they were about to get a divorce. And Lee and I just would not let them go. They had stopped coming to the church. She had gone to the States to work. They weren't even living together. But Jesus wouldn't let them go. He wouldn't let us just say, okay, well, we have plenty of other people. And we did have plenty of other people. By this point, we had plenty of people to pour into. But God would not let us stop going after this couple. And I remember we would go to the restaurant. And at the time, Christopher was Erica's best friend, or is Erica's best friend. And he was about 5 years old. And while Terrence was in the back working, we'd say, Chris, tell your daddy to come to church. You know, I'm sure anybody who saw probably thought we were creepy, but you know, but I actually spoke that to Chris at the wedding. I said, you know, the Lord used you as well to bring your parents back to the Lord. Well, they came back. They didn't get divorced, as you saw, and became more deeply involved. They went through an advance, got spirit-filled, went all in for Jesus. So then it was happily ever after, right? Right? Everything got better because they decided to serve Jesus. They gave him their all. They did everything. They did everything they were supposed to do. And then she got cancer and had to have her uterus removed. So wanted more children, and that was done. She would not be able to have more children. But she still served Jesus, and he still served Jesus. But there's more. Then she had back surgery and spent a year in bed. But what we saw is we saw now a couple who decided they would live for Jesus. No matter what, we saw a husband who once was ready to get on a plane to India and be done with her, wait on her hand and foot, and serve her and love her like Jesus taught us to. And so I needed to be at that wedding because I needed to get to celebrate what Jesus did. So y'all got to see, you know, they did all this dancing and so many beautiful things. So where am I going with this? We have to be in the battle with people. We have to be in the battle. We cannot give up on when the Lord brings people into our life. Sometimes they can't fight by themselves and they need us to walk along beside them and to encourage them and to not give up on them. And it's messy. It's hard. I got on to them sometimes because, again, they were my children, you know, and there were times when I had to bring correction and I had to tell them, you know, what y'all are doing is not right. But I got to experience the fruit last Saturday. I got to experience the fruit. Like Lee said, she is now the children's pastor. He is now the associate pastor. And they minister to other marriages. In fact, he just performed a wedding. And they're praying about adopting a little girl someday. And who would have known? You know, a couple that was on the brink of being done. Erica's making me cry. So I don't know if you want to show the picture of me and Andrea. This is when we first came. She was the first girl or woman that, well, I mean, one of the first, and this is me baptizing her before they really went through all the trials. But then now, you know, they became our family. They were our kids' family. And people are worth pouring into. And so the other story that I wanted to share that also happened at the wedding that was very important that I do not have a picture of, but Lee was just talking to a woman that I don't really know her. I recognized her, but she asked him, did your wife speak at Human Services many years ago? And he goes, oh, actually she did. And probably, I don't even know, it was when we first got Kaylee. And they had asked for us to come and speak to encourage other people to step out into foster care and adopt. And at that time, I didn't speak at all. So that was terrifying to me. But she remembered word for word what I said. She remembered me holding up the picture of my family and talking about God sometimes has plans for your family that you wouldn't expect. And she said, because of you, we adopted two children. And why do I share that? I'm not sharing it to encourage. I mean, well, I do encourage you guys to adopt if the Lord tells you to do that. But that we never know, you know, what the Lord would have us say, that those words could alter someone else, that the Lord speaks through us. And so how do we get to that place? So we've got to be spending time with the Lord, hearing from the Lord, being in the Word so that we can be used, okay? Because we can't do it on our own, of our own flesh. You know, we have to be constantly growing. We can't say, I've been a Christian for a long time, I don't know, 40 years or something, but I have to still always be growing. And the only way that I can still be growing, one is here, being in fellowship with other believers, in the small groups, but also in our own personal time. So just in conclusion, 1 Timothy 6:12 says, to fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. We're called to fight the good fight, not just so that we can have a lot of people at Go Church, but so that we can change people's eternity. And God is the one who does the work, but he uses us. He uses us. And if we're unwilling, he will find somebody else. But what a joy if he gets to use us, right? I mean, it's a joy to me when I get to be the one that's used. And so That's it.
This is my wife. She's amazing. Woohoo! You made me cry too. I want to add two things to that story, and then we'll close. When Robin shared that testimony at Human Services then, when she had that picture, she cried through almost the entire presentation. I remember her going home thinking, I'm so embarrassed. I cried through the whole thing. You know, they probably didn't hear anything I said. The woman that spoke that to us, her husband is the CEO of the oil and gas company of the nation of Belize. He is a powerful man. They are a powerful couple. And her crying through testimony influenced them to adopt two children and has the capacity, because Belizeans believe that they should adopt, let's say their sister dies, so they'll take their own their sister's child in, but why do I need to mess with anybody else's child? That's somebody else's problem, you know, I don't need to mess with them. So this powerful couple in the nation has the potential of influencing a nation to adopt children that aren't genetically their blood, but are so important. It is amazing. I'll say this last thing. I came to Belize truly believing that the church we planted could touch a nation. I left Belize last Monday seeing literally that this church is touching a nation. There were churches that would fight us tooth and nail and complain about us building a church. Today, those churches are replicating the things that we did for so many years to reach out to people around them. We see that we are influencing the nation, and that made it all worthwhile. Would you stand with me? Would our leaders just come forward? Perhaps you're in a fight this morning. Perhaps you're in the middle of the battle and maybe you forgot that Jesus is the one that's called you into the battle. Perhaps you're in a battle and you don't know what's going on and maybe you just feel like giving up this morning. As much as Robin described to Terrence and Andre, there were seasons of their life where they just felt like giving up and why even try anymore? And maybe it's in your marriage, maybe it's in your job, maybe it's in your spiritual walk, maybe it's reaching someone for Jesus that you've tried over and over how to reach them and it seems to fail and you just need ministry this morning. As Shelly plays, if you need ministry this morning, if you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, man, we want to introduce you to Him. We want Him to change your life. If you are playing games with Jesus and if I ask you if you are a believer and you said yes, but you realize your life is not centered around Him. Your purpose in life is not centered around His purpose. Your purpose is your own and not His. Today may be the day you say, today I give my life totally to Jesus. For Him to be my not only Savior, but my Lord, my King. I will fulfill His role. If you are here in need, would you come? If you're sick in body and we can pray for you, boy, we'd love to pray for you. If that's you, just make your way up. If you need to come, just come. You need to come, would you come? Robin, would you come on up here? Somebody may want to pray with you or touched by your word this morning. If you need to come, please come. Holy God. If you still need to come, just come. We'll just keep you a couple of more minutes. But if you need to come, come. I'll close and pray with this. We didn't come back to Katy, Texas to plant a church called Go Church so people could have a place to feel good on Sunday mornings. We came back to plant a church called Go Church because God has called us to go. To go into all the world and different nations, but to go out beyond the context of this building and to reach people for Jesus. And I believe you have joined us because God has called you to carry out that vision with us. To go and reach people and watch them, the disciples, even when it's tough like Terrence and Andrea were. We will do that together. The building that we are building is not the church. It is only a great tool we will use for the kingdom. But we will do it together. This morning, if you notice somebody missing today, give them a call. Let them know we miss them. But be faithful not only the Sunday morning, but be faithful to your walk on Monday through Saturday as well. Because you are fulfilling a purpose that God's called you to. Father, we thank you for that we can fight the fight of faith, God. That we draw strength from your strength. And God, there are people in this room that are in the midst of a fight right now. And Father, we ask that they would cast it over to you. Father, there are people in this room that are coming to church and we're so thankful for that. But Father, they haven't made you Lord. Their center of purpose is not devoted to you. Father, I pray today would be that day that they say, God, I give my life, all of it, to fulfill what you've called me to do, God. Father, that we would be a part of Go, to go and reach this community. To love people like Jesus and to watch them come to know you as Lord and Savior, to watch them raised up to become fathers and mothers to spiritual children, God, to men and women, young men and women that we can raise up and pour into and watch them do amazing things for the kingdom of God. Father, we praise you for that. And Father, we pray, we thank you for Blessed Sunday. God, we look forward to being able to bless these families. And Father, I ask that when they get those boxes, they would be so blessed that there was a people loving on them. We praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. See you on Blessed Sunday. God bless you. Hey, I've been told that not all the stickers made it all the way around. Does anybody know where the stickers are? All right. Wow, that didn't get too far at all. All right. If you need the stickers, they're right here. Cynthia? Somebody left their keys right there. But if you need a sticker, right here. Don't leave here without getting a sticker. If you have not got stickers, come and gather around here.
Some days life feels perfect, other days it just ain't working. The good, the bad, the right, the wrong, and everything in between. Yo, it's crazy, amazing, we can turn our heart through the words we say. Mountains crumble with every syllable, broken, live or die. So speak life, speak life, to the deadest, darkest night. Speak life, speak life, when the sun won't shine and you don't know why. Look into the eyes of the broken hearted, watch them come alive as soon as you speak hope, you speak love, you speak. Tongue gets twisted, other days my thoughts just fall apart. I do, I don't, I will, I won't, it's like I'm drowning in the deep. Well, it's crazy to imagine words from my lips as the arms of compassion. Mountains crumble with every syllable, hope can live or die. So speak life, speak life, to the deadest, darkest night. Speak life, speak life, when the sun won't shine and you don't know why. Like fire, hope will fall like rain when you speak life with the words you say. Raise your thoughts a little higher, use your words to inspire. Joy will fall like rain when you speak life with the things you say.